WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Talking computers are no longer confined to the realms of science fiction and fantasy. Language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg has these thoughts on this new technology.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
When the movie 2001 first came out, a lot of reviewers were quick to point out that the computer Hal was the only human character in the movie. What made Hal work, of course, was that uncanny voice of his. Not the voice of a machine, but the voice of a man who thought he was a machine, who imagined himself to be wholly rational and infallible. It was the voice of a madman, in short, and it articulated all our worst fears about what kinds of people computers might become. The talking computers are among us now, but we can rest assured they sound comfortingly like machines. I've been fooling around lately with a little program called Smooth Talker that's made by a Southern California outfit called First Byte. Smooth Talker performs what's called text-to-speech synthesis on a home computer like a Macintosh. You enter some written text, and the program reads it back to you. The system doesn't use any pre-recorded sound. It actually builds up the voice digitally. Here's what it sounds like.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Okay, it's clear that this system is not about to put Alistair Cook out of a job. Right now, these simple text-to-speech systems are being applied to much more mundane tasks. For example, they make computers accessible to the blind. And they have the potential to revolutionize the teaching of writing and reading once a student can enter a text and hear it read back immediately.
How I spent my summer vacation. Billy and me went fishing. I caught a trout, but it got away.
Systems like these are instructive for two reasons. It's impressive to see what they can do, and instructive to learn what they can't. Their accomplishments are considerable. For example, Smooth Talker does a pretty good job with the notoriously difficult problems of English spelling. Listen to it read the sentence, "The heart of the bear is near the earth."
The heart of the bear is near the earth.
That's not bad when you consider that the letters E-A-R have four different pronunciations in the four words heart, bear, near, and earth. Then, too, the program is capable of changing its intonation. The trouble is that it doesn't know when to use one intonation or another because it doesn't understand what it's saying. Let's say you've got a story where a little boy comes home and asks his mother what's for dinner. What you want the machine to say is something like this.
What are we having for dinner, mother?
But suppose the same sentence pops up in a story about two cannibals who are wondering who their next meal will be. Now you want the program to read it differently, like this.
What are we having for dinner, mother?
Of course, the program can only make this distinction if it has outside prompting. But then, why should we expect a computer to understand what it reads any better than a typical TV newscaster does? Of course, the real problem with systems like this one is the voice itself. They sound, well, they sound inhuman. On the other hand, I'm not sure that we want a computer to sound too lifelike. It's not troubling to see a computer putting written words onto the screen. Writing is impersonal and quite literally disembodied. It requires only a mind somewhere. But the human voice is intimately connected to its physical circumstances. You can tell from somebody's voice if they're tired or hungry or in pain, even if the sensation has nothing physically to do with the vocal cords. That's why computers can never have authentic human voices, because they can't know what it's like to live in the soft, damp speaker housings that we walk around in all day. So maybe it's a good idea to keep them sounding a little mechanical. It will help to remind us that when they act up, they're not really feeling cranky or excitable, or even paranoid like Hal. They're just suffering from hyperactivity in their little silicon glands.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.